session number 12592, Reel 1.
Can you tell me whereabouts you were born?
I was born in London in 1914, West London, Acton. Lived in Acton until I went abroad to Palestine in 1939.
How do you come to have a Dutch name?
Descended from the, not so much Dutch as rather Huguenot. And as far as I can follow, it leads back to the time when Philip of Spain was running amok in Europe, and the Huguenots fled and made their way to England and other places.
What made you go in for the Palestine police?
I joined the, went to Palestine police mainly, well, for the only reason that I attended a technical college and was in engineering. I thought, enough is enough. So I packed up and I thought the opportunity to go out there, have a bit of fun, fresh air, and a little bit of adventure.
Was it easy to get into the Palestine police?
Comparatively easy, common sense interview, physical, things like that.
How did you get out there?
Travelled out by steamer on the Orient Line, the Orcades, from Tilbury.
Was this before war broke out?
Yeah.
Which month do you think it was?
July, August.
Did you sail to Egypt or Palestine?
Sailed to Portside. Went up from canal down, followed the canal down to Kantara, and took train up from Kantara to Jerusalem.
What happened to you there?
Taken to the depot and allocated quarters. Then went on train, went on the training. 3 months training.
What did the training consist of?
Drill, musketry, basic law affecting the police, relations with the public, Arabic, usual sports activity as well, which I was interested in because being a keen sportsman. And eventually I finished up as many years ago as a member of the Force 15, taking part in representative games.
What did you think of the quality of the training that you received?
I thought it was very good indeed. The most instructors were ex-guardsmen, and they applied their own personal standards to the methods of inculcating us in the basic drills, because after all we're only rookies at the time, and turning out to quite some good squads, quite smart.
Were there any problems you had with the training?
None whatsoever.
And it was all at Jerusalem, was it?
All in Jerusalem depot, yes.
Once you'd had the initial training, what happened to you then?
Posted to police station in Jerusalem, Museum Police Station, which is an interesting area in as much as part Jewish, part Arab.
How do you spell it?
Museum. M-E-A-S-H-E-R I-M, Museum, which means 100 gates, actually. Mir being 100, and Shir being a gate, and Shirim is the plural. That's Hebrew.
You said it was a mixed area. Was there much trouble there when you were there?
No, the people used to live together in harmony, never any trouble. In the early, as in the earlier days. Eventually, nationalistic people took over and especially on the Jewish side. The only trouble was, at the time, the Orthodox Jews were very conscious of their position, and Mirshim being an area for the Orthodox Jews, they used to have a lot of problems with the other Jews on the Shabbat, which is Saturday. This led to quite a few bit of conflict with the police, in as much we had to supervise things a bit, you see. And they protested. Of course, we had to give them some sort of protection, and it was decided that when they held a football match by the, we would dress up as what they call the Hapoel, or the working class Jews, and protect them from the Orthodox Jews. So a party of police dressed up and borrowed bicycles from, and we went down there. Unfortunately, any time we went down there, the Orthodox Jews recognised us, and we got stoned. They had to beat a treat out of it. Quite funny, quite amusing, really, when you think of it. It happened on more than one occasion. But this was the attitude here. You still got the problem of Orthodox Jews against the other Jews in present day during Israel.
So the problem was that the Orthodox Jews were trying to get the others
enforce the Shabbat, really. Which they did nothing, and they never used to eat or drink during Shabbat, really, when they were playing football.
Was there actually any violence between them, or was it just shouting?
No violence, no. There was violence. The Orthodox would throw stones at the footballers. But when we went down on bicycles dressed as Jews, they threw the stones at us instead.
And how were the Arabs in Mir Shirim behaving?
Well, there weren't many Arabs lived in what they call the Mishrara area, which took in Damascus Gate, the old city wall. And quite a number of Christians lived in that area. There was no problem whatsoever. They got on well together. In fact, I used to go to a little, grog shop for the cheap wine with run by an Orthodox Jew, and very often you find Arabs in there as well. All very friendly.
But you say the nationalists moved in. When was that that they moved in?
Well, that was in the later years when the Irgun, the terrorist organisation, they were dominating, keeping blowing up places, because that's when the trouble started.
Was that after the war or during?
No, that was towards the end. Not during the war so much. There were incidents though. 44, 45, including the blowing up of the King David. You might have heard of that before. But afterwards, hell of a lot of trouble from 40, 47, 48.
How long did you serve in this first posting at Mir Shirim police station?
Nearly 5 years, 39, 45. Then I came home on leave, then went back to... Oh, in Mir Shirim alone?
Yes.
I did about 3 months, 3 years there.
So from 39 to 42?
Yeah. Call it 43, about 43. Then I made a sergeant in 43 and posted to Jenin. Whilst I was at Mir Shirim, I was also... attached to the High Commissioner for escort purposes. We call them tame thugs. I was his bodyguard, in other words, quite a long time.
Was he attacked?
Not when I was there. He was later on, Harold McMichael.
What kind of a man was he?
Very nice man, a very, very learned man, and good Arabic scholar. very nice family, actually, with this, with the name of his daughter, Araminta, and another one. Very nice. I liked him very much.
Are there any stories you can tell me about him that, from your personal experience?
Not really, no. He was a regular churchgoer on a Sunday to St. George's Cathedral. I can't say much else about him at all. You don't get to know them well, you see. You're not hobnobbing with them, you see. You're a tame thug. Right in the same car, but you're in the front, not, and he's in the back.
What were you armed with when you...
Revolver. With a shoulder holster inside.
But you never had to use it as a bodyguard?
No. When he was ambushed, I wasn't with him. Somebody else named Mick Hills was with him, who...
And that was when you were serving at Mir Shireim?
Yeah.
How did you like being in Jerusalem in 39-40?
I liked Jerusalem very much indeed. It's a, you've got the old and the new, and I went back to Jerusalem when, about 5 years ago, and I was very impressed with the work that's been going on.
How did the inhabitants of Jerusalem regard the Palestine police, do you think?
Not with a lot of regard, actually.
Why not?
Well, probably a, only there for one purpose, to preservation of the status quo. And you can never be friends with either side on that. And we was always neutral, in the main. Although most people lean towards the Arabs, I will say that much. But the job was as preservation of the status quo. Consequently, you never really mix with the local population.
Did you lean towards the Arabs?
No, I didn't lean towards either side. I have friends either side, actually. I had Jewish friends and also Arab friends.
How did you make your friends?
By contact. When you're on foot patrol and talking, there's always somebody in calling the shop. As I mentioned before, an Orthodox Jew ran a little wine show, a wine shop, that to go around there, and the Arabs in there as well. And of course, the Arab shop's in the Misrara area, which is the Arab area.
Would they invite you to their homes?
I was invited by the Orthodox Jews who's home for Passover, which was quite an honour, actually. And the usual sweetmeats laid out for the Passover ceremony, blessing of the first fruits and things like that. Quite interesting.
And did you visit Arab homes as well?
Yes. Not just casually, not by routine. Some might say, well, come along and have a coffee and things like that, but not a lot.
Did you ever come across hostility from any of the people in Jerusalem, any of the civilians?
Basically, no. Political types, probably when there was a demonstration, because there is hostility of demonstration, but not in the way of just walking out, going into town, walking along. No hostility whatsoever. Always very friendly, both sides, Jews and Arabs, and Armenians, quite a lot of Armenians. They're all very friendly.
So what makes you think that the people were cool towards the Palestine police?
Cruel?
Cool.
Well, the Jews were nationalistic, and so were the Arabs. They wanted their own country, and they didn't want it mainly because we were British. They didn't want the British here. After all, we only took over the mandate, and then for the preservation of the status quo.
Would they ever say to you, why don't you British go home?
Oh, they didn't say it, no, but the feeling was there.
How did your job in Jenin compare with Jerusalem?
Well, when I went to Jenin, it was organised what they call a strike force, you see, but a mobile force. And I was asked if I'd like to go along and join. And so I went along, I joined up. But I got made sergeant, actually, when I was on there, and that was an encouragement.
It was called the Mobile Force?
Police Mobile Force, yes.
What did it consist of?
Well, they... mainly armoured cars, actually. And a few transport carriers.
So you were going out in the armoured cars?
Oh yes, I finished up an in charge of an armoured car troop.
How did you like it?
I liked it very much. I used to organise the patrols in Jerusalem, armoured car patrols.
But you were doing the armoured car work in Jenin as well?
Oh yes, we started in there, then we moved down to Jerusalem about a year later.
What kind of work did you do in Jenin?
Mainly training. We got an intake of recruits coming in from the army, and they had to be trained into normal police work. And as we've got these vehicles in, we started patrolling, techniques of patrolling, and then eventually the whole unit was transferred to Jerusalem. Not all of it. Some of it went to Jaffa and some went to Haifa. But the one I was in came to Jerusalem.
How did the population in Jenin differ from Jerusalem?
Well, it was all Arab. Quite primitive, actually. It was not a very big place, but quite friendly. Didn't have much to do with them, though. The camp itself was some distance away, a couple of miles away from the town itself, and consequently people didn't mix.
Did you have to deal with any disturbances when you were in the armoured cars?
I did, not personally, but some did. Some people were more than disturbances. They were involved in, well, more than one person. They put a grenade through the turret and killed the crew. But it didn't apply to me. It never happened to me.
Because you were mainly concerned with training?
No. I was also on patrol at all, but I wasn't... For some reason or other, I was unaffected.
Where did you personally go on patrol in Jerusalem?
In a mainly German colony area. The main areas to patrol were the Jewish areas, especially where it's in contact with the Arab places, because they're where things were likely to blow up.
So this was in the latter stages of the war, 44-45?
That's right, yeah, and 46.
Were things any worse then, as compared with when you first arrived?
Oh yes, things were not getting out of hand, but there's tremendous activity by the Jewish terrorists, by the Irgun Swailumi, Shamir, President Prime Minister, he was very active. In fact, it rumoured he took part in the King David Hotel incident, which I heard but didn't see. I heard it go up and went round there, because it was an awful mess, actually. I went round there the following day.
What did you find when you went?
Well, the wing was completely demolished, and you could see they were moving. It was hot weather, very hot, and you could see the bodies of people trapped by rubble. Awful mess.
Even one day after
being blown up? Oh yeah. Oh, it took least over a week to clear the rubble away with mechanised equipment. Then there were other instances. The Sammy Ramis Hotel was blown up in the German colony area of Jerusalem. That was an Arab hotel in a Jewish area. Well, complementary, they've all started dovetailing in together.
What's happened on that occasion?
It was blown up, about 40 were killed.
Did you visit that place?
No, I didn't visit that one, no. Wait a minute, I was involved in an incident once when they tried to. When I was on a night patrol, they tried to storm Broadcasting House, and I heard the guns open up, and I went round and saw the terrorists away, but I gave a burst on the brain gun, but of course in the dark they were away, little else you could do. I was still about 300 or 400 yards away, but that was that.
Which year would that have been?
That would have been 45.
And that was Broadcasting House?
Broadcasting House in Jerusalem.
Whereabouts in Jerusalem was that?
I can't think of the name of the road. Next to the prison, anyway. No, I can't think of the name of the road. There's one road, Street of the Prophets, and then this road's got right angles to it. Broadcasting House on the right hand side. I can't remember that at all.
Who was responsible for that attack?
The Irgun. It's when a police officer who was in the police officer's mess dashed out, and a fellow named Jeff Rano, he was shot and his leg was shot off here, actually.
At the knee?
At the knee, yeah.
Was he the only casualty?
On the police side. Hmm. Jeff Rano, his name is. He's dead now.
Were any of the attackers hit or captured?
No. They escaped through the little alleyways immediately opposite Broadcasting House and all the Warren places, you know, dashing. No chance at all.
So, were you in Jerusalem up till 48?
No. Yes, up until 48, and I moved into when it became necessarily disbanded the transport section, but the mobile force. They reallocated it to various units in the area, and I was taken off of armoured cars and put in charge of security for the huge police quarters known as the Generali building in Jerusalem.
The what building?
Generali, Italian name, General Ali. It was the police quarters and the
Why should it have an Italian name?
Italian bank name, actually. It was used to belong to the Italian bank, and they just took it over.
So you were doing that until the...
Then I went in 47, I was transferred as a station sergeant to German Colony Police Station, and I stayed there to the end. This was quite interesting.
Why in particular?
Well, I hadn't been on station work for some time, you see. And I got to know several people in the area. It was a pleasant area, inasmuch that... I didn't know Jerusalem, do you?
No.
No, but it's a very pleasant area, residential. And nice quarters, some nice little shops. We had this was at Longclave, inasmuch as you had to get a pass to get into the area, pass through an army checkpoint. Consequently, we were quite free to walk about, which you could do in Jerusalem, but not advisable. It's fairly safe from terrorist attacks, and very pleasant place to live.
In how much danger did you feel at this period in Jerusalem? Personal danger,
inasmuch that never go around with the on your own, and if going to a cafe, backs to the wall, things like that. There were several people, I remember in particular, two young lads who would do, at the time when you could do national service in Palestine, named Christie and Easton, the two very nice lads. And they were out one day walking on what's known as Jaffa Road, where you go along, nice cafe found there, have a coffee and things like that. But they were shot down. Both killed. Two nice lads. Great pity, really, because they had a lot going for them. And they were they went against the advice of other people, put it that way. They started going along in predominantly Jewish areas. There's some pleasant cafes around there. They were mowed down.
You say they were soldiers?
No, police? Two police. They were doing their national service in the police force. They're both shot.
Which year would that have been?
That would have been 46.
Was that by the IZL?
Yes.
And you knew them personally, did you?
Oh, yeah, very personally. Oh, yes, in fact, I knew them the day they arrived. Always knew them, but that was that.
And yet you say you enjoyed your time in Palestine.
Oh, yeah. That's some good people, actually. I liked it. A bit of bother. You've got to accept it. I mean, you wouldn't be there otherwise, would you? I enjoyed it, and I loved the climate, and enjoyed the sport, playing rugby, cricket, played a lot of cricket. The standard of cricket was very, very high out there. In fact, one of our chaps, well, two of them went into county cricket. One was predominantly with Hampshire, played first for Worcester, then Hampshire. Vic Cannings, and he had many years with Hampshire, finished up as a cricket coach to Eton College when he retired.
Did you have sporting events against the Jews or Arabs?
Not often, no. They didn't play rugby, they didn't play cricket. But occasionally football, not often.
Was there anything you didn't like about serving in Palestine?
Not... Well, you might disagree with one or two things, but in the main, I thought it was quite a pleasant way of life, suiting me.
What did you think about the government's decision to give up the mandate?
It wasn't a government decision at all. This was pressed on them, wasn't it? Give up the mandate. It had to be done sooner or later. Nothing to do about that. Only there temporarily, anyway.
But when they did?
Mm. Well, I'm rather disappointed, and my wife was there at the time. She came out in 45, and we went home then, and I went back to the UK, and then I had an offer to go out to Malaya.
What made you accept that offer?
What, Malaya?
Yes.
Well, another place to visit. Never been there before. In fact, I had to look it up on the map to find out where it was.
How did the terms of service compare with those that you had in the Palestine police?
Well, it was continuity in the first place, which is not a bad thing towards pension. And then I got promotion to go out there and made me assistant superintendent.
When was it that you went there?
48.
Do you remember the month?
August. No, July.
And how did the existing Malayan police accept the Palestine policemen who were
around? You know about this, don't you? Not very well. Not very well. I was amazed by the lack of organisation and complete utter inefficiency of what was going on there when I arrived. And I'll give a particular incident. Their armourer, they feed a load of brain guns in, about 40, and a brain gunner, if you know a brain gunner, every part has got its own particular number. That number all goes together, you see. He'd taken all the brain guns to bits and everything was mixed up. So it took about 4 days to try and sort it out again. Anyway, that aside...
Where was this?
In Kuala Lumpur, at the depot. And I was attached to the depot for training, but what was very, very important, I was billeted with a chap named Bill McLean and his wife, whose brother was a friend of mine from Palestine.